What is going on, everybody? Welcome to this edition, the second edition of the Warrior Soul Podcast Fitness Q&A. This is Chris Albert, and each week we get together on the Warrior Soul Podcast to talk about tools, tactics, ideas, issues, and introduce you to people who can help you to live your best life. We are dedicated to helping the U.S. military veteran community and anybody else who's willing to listen to live their best lives, and we do so through fitness, talking about health, talking about things that you might not have come in contact with before, new ideas and practices that can help you along on your way and in your path in this life. Just a couple of notes here before we begin. Number one, this podcast is brought to you by F-Bomb Nutrition. They make absolutely awesome, delicious, wonderful packets of fats. And this one here is macadamia nut butter with coconut butter. And I love these things. They are so good. They taste like a crushed up macadamia nut cookie. And they've got no sugar. You can carry this around with you wherever you go. It's great energy, great nutrition. And the company's run by absolutely awesome people. They're sending boxes of this stuff overseas to Marines and soldiers who are deployed on the front lines in Afghanistan and Iraq. And you can get 20% off of your first order if you head over to www.dropanfbomb.com and you use the code WarriorSoul at checkout. Another note here for those of you who are watching and are looking to get questions answered in the future. One of the things I want to let you know is that we have this amazing community called the Warrior Soul Fitness Academy. And that is where I get the questions and the issues that I'm going to be talking about here today. So if you're interested in getting your questions answered, if you're interested in getting provided with some of the best content in fitness on the internet, come on over and join us over at the Warrior Soul Fitness Academy. You can find that over at menshealth.warriorsoulagoge, that's agoge.com, or just head over to www.warriorsoulagoge.com and you click on the main link there, and we will get you signed up. Anybody who signs up also gets a free 21-day testosterone optimization workout and a free testosterone optimization checklist. So now that that's out of the way, I'm going to open my live kombucha up. These things are awesome. Awesome fermented drink with live probiotics in it. And I'm going to get into the issues for today. Today, we're going to be talking about four different topics, and they come from different questions I got. Number one, somebody wanted to know about the ketogenic diet versus the carnivore diet and what my thoughts were on this. And I have a few, so we'll get into that. We're going to be talking about dealing with chronic injuries, joint pain, bad hips, bad shoulders, whatever it may be you're dealing with. We're going to be talking about that today as well, and how to allow yourself to get through that pain, how to manage that pain, and how to do so in a way that's actually going to make the injury better. And then we're going to be talking about how you should be eating and drinking fermented foods. Big topic that I love to talk about all the time is gut health. And then finally, I'm going to end it off by talking about exogenous ketone supplements and my thoughts on exogenous ketone salts and whether or not you should use them. And I've got a lot of insights there as well. And before we end, I'll also handle any questions for those who are watching live. If you want to post your questions up, if you're there on Facebook, go ahead and just write it in the comments in the private Facebook group. And then from there, we will get into everything and anything you need to know. So on to the first topic here, and I'm just letting somebody into the private Facebook group while we talk. The keto diet versus the carnivore diet. And this is something that's come up in recent months and recent, I guess you could say the last like 6-7 months, a lot of people have been talking about the carnivore diet. I think that in so many ways, the carnivore diet could have some good applications to it. And in many other ways, it seems to me like it's turning into yet another diet fad. And I'll explain what I'm talking about. Number one, I had Dr. Dr. Sean Baker on the podcast a few months ago. Really great guy, a U.S. Air Force veteran. I got along with him really well. I am not entirely convinced with the science he's trying to put forth. What I do admire about him is that he is really trying to test things out, and he's trying to do these N equals many experiments, he's calling them. But when he released his own blood work, I really wasn't convinced by that. I wasn't convinced by that because blood work wasn't very good. And then the other thing aspect of it was this. After talking with him, a lot of it was really, really anecdotal. And even looking at a lot of the testimonials I'm seeing, that's not to say that I don't find merit in what he's doing, but you know, and not to say that a lot of people aren't benefiting from the initial switch to the carnivore diet. But one of the problems I have with that is that a lot of this is anecdotal evidence, and people haven't been on the diet really long enough to determine whether or not it's going to be really efficacious in making you healthy. So what are my thoughts on the carnivore diet, and why do I feel the way I do about it? Well, number one, let me say this. If you go from eating lots of sugar, lots of carbs, if you go from eating a really bad diet to eating a diet that's made up of mostly meat, initially you're going to have some amazing results. And that means you're going to start to burn fat. You are probably going to get rid of some autoimmunity. If you've been having autoimmune symptoms, you'll probably get, you know, some of the things that Dr. Baker's followers talk about, you know, the getting rid of the swollen achy joints, having less gastric issues, all those different things. And the reason isn't necessarily because you're switching to the carnivore diet. The reason is because you stopped doing all the other things you were doing. Now, a lot of the kickback I get on this when I talk about the carnivore diet is that people say, hey, I've been doing keto, I've been doing paleo, I've been doing these other diets, and vegetables were making me super gassy. I was having such a problem digesting them. I was having such a problem digesting plant matter that I was not feeling very good. And ever since I switched to the carnivore diet, my digestion's been better. And that can definitely be true. So are plants something that could cause gastric issues? Are plants something that could cause issues with autoimmunity? Are they something that could cause reactions that would cause your joints to become swollen? Absolutely, they are. But it's not because the plants are bad. It's because you're not preparing them properly. In order to digest food properly, particularly foods that include plants, nuts, beans, grains that are high in phytates, one of the things we really need to do is we need to prep them properly. We need to prep them in a way that is going to render them more digestible. And if we do that, then we can avoid a lot of these things. So what do I mean? With vegetables, one of the things you have to realize is that plants, over the millions of years that they've been on this earth, they were one of the first foods that animals, reptiles, that mammals were feeding on. So over the years, over the millennia, they've developed defense mechanisms. And one of those defense mechanisms is their ability to not be digested, particularly seeds, right? If we're talking about seeds, if we're talking about plants that want to reproduce, one of the main ways they've been able to propagate themselves is that they've been able to get their seeds into the feces of birds and into the feces of other animals. And through that, having their seeds resistant to digestion, that allows them to grow, to spread throughout the land, right? And so the other thing is, the other defense mechanisms they've been able to develop are chemicals that can potentially make us feel sick, that can give us indigestion, that can really hurt us, right? And we hear about these a lot these days. But there's ways of getting rid of these chemicals, and there's ways of prepping these your food. So number one, with plants, particularly green leafy vegetables, what you want to do is you really want to break them up. You want to slice them. You want to dice them. You want to cut into that plant wall. And what that's going to do is it's going to make that soften that plant wall. And how does it do that? Well, plants, one of their natural defense mechanisms is that when they get damaged, they release a natural enzyme. That natural enzyme gets released in order to release polyphenols. Polyphenols are what the plants use to actually heal themselves. Polyphenols are actually very good for us, right? And so what you want to do is you want to cut those plants up and let them sit there for about 10 minutes. And if you do that, it's going to release those enzymes. It's also going to release the polyphenols. And what you got after that 10 minutes is a way of making that plant a little bit more digestible and actually a bit more nutritious. So that's one way. You also want to steam them. You want to soften them up. You want to cook them, right? If you're boiling them, make sure you're consuming the water as well, because that's where all the nutrients are going to go. If you do that, but big thing there, with your seeds, you want to soak them and you want to sprout them, right? And it's really easy to look up how to do this on Google. You can get sprouting kits off of Amazon.com. You just sprout them out a little bit, and that gets rid of the phytates and it makes them again more nutritious. With your beans, same thing. You want to sprout them. With your nuts, you want to soak them. You want to soak your Brazil nuts. You want to soak your almonds. Soak them for about 24 hours, and that renders them way more digestible, and it allows you to get more of the nutrients out of them. So again, one of the things I would say is that I think that a lot of people who are having problems with their plants, they're either eating them raw, eating them in a lot of salads and things like that, or they were not prepping their foods properly. And that can, in fact, lead to a lot of digestive issues. What are some of my problems with not eating plants? And if you go on carnivore on the long term, number one, I would say this. A big factor there is going to be your inability, it's going to hurt your digestive system in the long run, because you're going to have a lot of issues with developing a good probiotic microbiome. And why is that? Well, it's because a lot of the friendly bacteria that actually help us, they actually influence our genes. I've spoken to Dr. Rodney Dietert from Cornell University about this on the podcast. They actually feed off of prebiotic material. And a lot of the prebiotic material actually comes from plants. So celery is one that produces amazing prebiotics. potato starch, Bob's Red Mill potato starch, another way of getting really good prebiotics. But green leafy vegetables, they actually provide a lot of the prebiotic foods that'll help to attract a lot of that healthy bacteria. And I just don't buy Dr. Baker's argument the idea that we don't need prebiotics or we don't need probiotics if you just go on a meat only diet. I don't buy the argument that you don't need as many nutrients. Now, how would I make the carnivore diet better? Of course, I would include some steamed vegetables that have been softened up, that have been rendered digestible. I would include some good sources of prebiotic material in there. Also, with the meat, the way I see Dr. Baker eating his meat, he's eating ribeyes all the time. He's eating a lot of muscle meat. One thing I would do is I would actually include grass-fed beef liver. Internal organs are the most nutritious foods you can get out there. Grass-fed beef liver is at the height, it's at the very top of the nutrient density index at Harvard. So it's really one of the most nutritious foods you can get. I wouldn't eat it every single day, but once or twice a week would be a really great way of including it in your diet. You could also, if you're not a fan of liver, you can get desiccated liver tablets, though those taste pretty bad as well. But I absolutely love liver. I'll tell you how I make it. I fry up a few slices of bacon, and then I'll take the liver I'll dredge it in some prebiotic powder. So it could be potato starch, it could be cassava flour or something like that, a low carb prebiotic fiber. And then I'll let it sit there for a bit. Then I'll fry up some onions. I'll throw in some mushrooms in there. I'll remove the bacon. I'll remove the onions and the mushrooms. And then I'll put the liver out. The key is to stretch it out. And then don't touch it. Don't move it around your pan. Don't overcook it. All right. If you do that, you just flip it once. It comes out like a really nice, awesome steak. And I just had it last night. Really, really delicious stuff. I definitely highly suggest it. So again, the keto diet versus the carnivore diet. I'm also not a huge fan of people doing the therapeutic form of the ketogenic diet, just as a weight loss measure. And the reason why I'm not a fan of that is because I don't think you need to go that strict, and particularly women who are trying to lose weight on the ketogenic diet, they don't necessarily need to be going that strict. And one of the problems you'll get from that, with that 80% fat, 15% carbs, 15% protein, 5% carbs, one of the issues that women will get is that they can go into hypothyroidism. And in particularly, I think women are candidates for more of a cyclic ketogenic diet, where you're able to include some carbs, where you're able to include some foods, some nutrients outside of fat. Men who suffer from hypothyroidism as well. So my advice is really, I think a modified Atkins works, and that's what we teach over at Warrior Soul Keto Camp, where, you're getting a higher ratio of protein, probably around 45% protein, and then a good percentage of fats and a really lower percentage of carbs, and then including carbs on a selective basis when you're going through a really hard training day, particularly for athletes and for women. I think that's the best way to go. So moving on here, the second issue I'm going to talk about is dealing with chronic injuries. And again, I think that this is something that people find themselves falling into. And a lot of times when you get an injury, you think to yourself, all right, this is bad luck. This is something that's just happened to me. This is, because I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, or doing this left wrong. What a lot of people don't realize, particularly people with chronic injuries who've been dealing with a single injury for a long, long period of time, is that they're injuries have a lot to do, and the recovery has a lot to do with your nutrition. Now, I'm somebody who has dealt with chronic injuries throughout my life. It started when I was 18 years old, playing football in high school. I suffered a knee injury. And then when I was in the Marine Corps and I got deployed, I suffered a chronic ankle injury, and I kept rolling my ankle over and over again. I kept getting knee problems. I kept getting joint problems. And having served in the infantry didn't really help, because you're constantly moving, you're constantly out in the field. And when I got deployed, I was walking around on an ankle that was swollen three times its size, and never really got it looked at until I came back and I got it chronicled with the doc. And, the thing is that back then I thought, okay, it's the type of boots I'm wearing, all these different things, it's the wear and tear, but the diet wasn't helping. And the diet back then was a lot of sugar, a lot of MRE pound cake, a lot of peanut butter, things like that. And not really looking after my nutrition really well. Now, what happens there with these chronic injuries? If you've got a joint that's not healing, if you've got a shoulder ache that's not going away, if you're dealing with hip pain, my good friend Lisa May, she deals with chronic hip pain. One of the problems that happens to us a lot of the time is that we're consuming diets that are really high in omega-6 fatty acids. So, you know, we're consuming a lot of corn oil, we're consuming a lot of seed oil, we're consuming a lot of you know, peanut butter, things like that that contain omega-6, and it's largely in most of the packaged food that we get here in the Western world. Seed oils are very long enduring. They don't spoil very quickly. They find themselves in a lot of preservatives we get into our bodies. And the problem with omega-6 is that it raises chronic inflammation. So omega-3 it fights chronic inflammation. Omega-6 raises chronic inflammation. And the thing is, we need both. We need both omega-6 and omega-3. But the problem is we get way more omega-6 than we do omega-3, and they're supposed to be in ratio together. Omega-3 fights the inflammation. Omega-6 creates the inflammation. And the reason why we need inflammation created is because it's actually part of the recovery process. But one of the things you really need to do is you need to be getting a good amount of omega-3 fatty acids in your diet. If you're not getting a good amount of omega-3 fatty acids in your diet, then you are going to end up dealing with chronic joint issues, chronic pain, potentially a good amount of chronic disease. Diabetes and cancer and heart disease are largely linked with inflammation, but also brain issues. So brain fog, lack of ability to concentrate, lack of ability to focus. Up to a third of the dry weight of your brain is actually DHA, docahexaetoic acid. And that is one of the main fatty acids in the omega-3 chain. And, you know, that is extremely important for keeping your brain health, for keeping you from getting dementia, for allowing you to be focused. So a big recommendation I have is to be supplementing with an omega-3 fatty acid. And you can get it from in a number of different ways. Number one is fish oil. I take Nordic Naturals fish oil because it's highly bioavailable. It comes in triglyceride form, so that allows it to absorb very quickly. Another way you can get it is through algal DHA or algal EPA. I always mispronounce it. Epazootic acid. I'm just going to pronounce it like that. I know that's probably not the right way, but algal DHA EPA, really, really good. You don't want to be getting it from flax seeds. You don't want to be getting it from flax because it's not immediately available in DHA or EPA. Your body has to convert it, and you lose a lot because of that. So make sure that, you know, if you're vegan or you're trying to go vegetarian, you go with the algal form. If you're not, you try the fish oil form. You could also do krill oil. But make sure that it's high EPA DHA, and that will definitely help. Another thing, again, and this is going back to digestion, you really need to be looking after your gut health. So really make sure that you're taking care of your intestinal tract, taking care of your digestion, because if you're not, then inflammation can go throughout the body. It can travel everywhere, and that starts largely in the digestive tract, and that's because your digestive tract houses as much as 80% of your immune system. So whenever I'm dealing with a client, the first thing we work on is fixing their digestion. The first thing we work on is healing the gut. If you're not healing the gut, then you're really, all the work you're doing with your fitness is like building a house of cards. It's all going to fall down. So step one, heal the gut. Make sure you're getting a good amount of omega-3s. Cold exposure is a really great way of reducing inflammation. Taking a cold shower or a cold bath for the brave. And the way that works is it can activate brown adipose tissue. That's something that a lot of people talk about, but also cold shock proteins. There's heat shock proteins and cold shock proteins. And when you put your body into a position that's really, really uncomfortable, it starts to draw the blood toward your internal organs. It starts to activate mitochondria to start kill each other off, killing off the disease mitochondria. And that actually is really good for fighting inflammation. So cold exposure. And, you know, again, also getting back to the basic things, making sure that you're working on your mobility, making sure that you're moving, making sure that you're not sitting down all the time. You know, I'm sitting down, I've been sitting here for about 30 minutes now, and I need to get up and I need to do some squats after this. But, you know, every hour, just get up and do something to move, get up and move around. That can definitely help as well. That's about it for that. If you guys have any other questions on that, let me know. I'd love to cover that issue in the future. On to the third topic here. And again, this is getting back into digestion. Why you should eat fermented foods. And really great podcast I did with, and you should check that out. It's on the Warrior Soul podcast. It's with Dr. Rodney Dieter. And he wrote a book called The Human Superorganism. And one of the things he gets into in there is we have this concept of epigenetics, right? Everybody's talking about the nexus of your environment versus your genetics and how they can influence each other. One of the things he brought up is that a lot of our genes are actually influenced by the bacteria that's in our digestive tract, by our microbiome. And in so many ways, we're not just a single organism. We are millions of organisms that have come together in a really massive superorganism. And so I'm finding more and more about this every single day. And this is why I talk about it so much. But your gut bacteria influences so many things. It influences whether or not you're going to get an injury. It influences your mindset. It can influence your mood. It can influence your propensity to get disease. It can influence so many different things about your health, and so many people neglect it. And so when we're dealing with digestive issues, so many people just, they'll try to find an over-the-counter remedy. They'll try to find something that they think is going to handle the problem quickly and cheaply. But the thing is, what happens is they're just treating the symptom. They're not treating the underlying cause. And your gut health is such an important factor in your overall health. It's such an important factor. And it's, you know, athletes, whether you're an athlete or whether you're a normal person, it's going to affect your performance. It can affect so many things. So fermented foods are something that I include in almost every meal I eat. So these include, I'll eat a half a cup to a cup of raw sauerkraut. I'll include a half a cup of kimchi. I will drink a couple of live sodas, or drink some kombuchas throughout the day. Those are live probiotics that you can get in your body. But anything that's really fermented, that includes the mother in it, that can get some good live probiotic bacteria in your body. A lot of people ask me about probiotic supplements, and one of my big beliefs is that if you're going to consume probiotic supplements, you should be consuming them, particularly if you've after a course of antibiotics, right? Or for a short-term period. But you want to, in the long term, be consuming fermented foods. You want to be including fermented foods into your meals so that you are able to continually populate your gut with healthy, friendly probiotic bacteria. And again, this is something I'm talking about all the time on the Warrior Soul of Goji YouTube channel. You can check that stuff out. The last thing I want to talk about today are exogenous ketones. And that is because I'm seeing more and more about these supplements. And I'm seeing more and more people out there being sold on these supplements. And I think a couple of different things about this. Number one, I think that the thing about exogenous ketones is that they can be one of the most useful supplements ever created. They could be one of the best things to ever happen to athletes since supplements and anabolic steroids. But they're being marketed in a way that I don't appreciate. And that's because they're being marketed as fat loss supplements. And I don't like that. I don't like the idea of utilizing these ketones for weight management. Why? Well, you're basically pouring energy into your system when you're taking exogenous ketones, right? So the idea is you're taking these ketone salts, they get converted into the body, in the body, into ketones. Ketones are fatty acids that act as fuel in the absence of carbohydrate. And a lot of these companies are telling people, hey, go out there, eat a cheeseburger, eat a pizza, and then take these ketones and you'll be right back into nutritional ketosis. And if it's not the companies telling people this, it's the people who are selling them through multi-level marketing deals. And that's just not the case. You're not in actual ketosis. The goal with ketosis is to burn your own fat stores for fuel, right? And you need to do some adaptation to do that. But after that for initial, 14 to 21 day adaptation period, you should be focusing on burning your own fat stores for fuel. So these ketone supplements could definitely help with the initial adaptation phase. But don't try to fool your mind into thinking that they're going to help you to burn fat, because they're not. What you're doing is you're giving your body a really easily accessible form of energy. And rather than mobilizing your own fat stores for fuel, which is what you want from ketosis, you're basically giving it something that it can easily choose instead of your own fat stores. So this is why I see so many people coming to me. I'm not able to lose weight. I'm not able to do this. I'm not able to do that. And it's because you're loading your bloodstream up with a lot of excessive energy. And so that's the thing, guys. There are no shortcuts. There are no easy ways. If you want to get the benefits of ketosis for fat loss, then you've got to get your body into ketosis. You have to go through the adaptation phase. You have to get your body to a point where it's going to mobilize those fat stores for food. For fuel. When do I think exogenous ketones are useful? Well, I think they're particularly useful for athletes. They're really great for endurance. They're really great for people who are doing exercise for long periods of time. I also think that they're particularly useful for bodybuilders who are dieting, bodybuilders who are leaning out. And I am starting a company centered around exogenous ketones, which I'll talk about probably in the future at some point. But I don't like the focus of these supplements around weight loss. I don't like the idea that people are being tricked into buying these things because they think it's going to help them to lose fat. Another thing that these supplements could be really useful for is if you're having a particularly long, taxing day academically at work, where you're expending a lot of mental energy, exogenous ketones could definitely help with that. And they do give you a lot of focus. They're almost like a nootropic, where you're able to focus for long periods of time. You're able to focus on one thing and you're able to really concentrate. But as far as fat loss goes, they are not a fat loss supplement. And I don't appreciate their use in that way. I think that they have a great potential use for a lot of different people. I think they're the best things to come out since anabolic steroids or vitamins or supplements, in that they're the one thing that you put in your body that's good. It's going to have an effect. But I don't think that the way they're being marketed right now is useful. So with that, guys, I'm going to check the Facebook post right now, and I'm just going to see if there's any questions that came up. Let my page load up a bit. Yeah. So Ben Chapman said in response to the carnivore and the versus ketosis, I've seen a lot of people transitioning to higher protein and less fat once in ketosis and they're fat adapted. And yeah, that's the way it should be. I think that we should be on increasing the protein as we go into our fat loss. Once you're through that adaptation phase, you really should be trying to increase the protein. Why? Well, protein has a higher thermic effect of food. It can actually help you to burn fat. If you're constantly pouring MCT oil down your throat, if you're constantly, putting fat into your system, that's your energy source. And if your goal is to lose weight, there is no reason why you should be eating a diet that's 80% fat, right? That's just not how it works. You're still putting tons of energy into your body. I would be raising the protein levels. I'd be lowering the fat. I'd keep the carbohydrates low. But that could be a much better way for people to burn body fat than some of the recommendations I'm seeing out there. The one case where I think you need to go with that really strict ketogenic diet is if you're in a situation where you're battling epilepsy or if you're battling cancer or something like that. Those can definitely be helpful. He also asked a question here. I don't think it's a question saying he's been doing carnivore for 30 days. Fatty grass-fed foods, cheese, small amounts of HWC, I'm not sure what that is, and fish, preferably halibut and salmon. Again, man, I think, you know, if you want to try it for the short term, that's great. I'd be interested to see, you know, the results of people doing this for years. I know that Jordan Peterson's been having a lot of good results with the carnivore diet. It's helped out his autoimmunity and things like that. But again, you know, and I'm not saying that it's not effective for some people, because switching from anything could be effective if you're eating something that's giving you an allergy or giving yourself an autoimmune reaction. I think a much better long-term plan for this would be to follow something like what Dr. Terry Walls has laid out, where you follow a very, very strict diet that eliminates a lot of those foods that could potentially be causing allergies, and then slowly reintroducing them back in. So that's my opinion on that. And it looks like we've gotten through all of the questions. Well, that's it for today then. So I want to thank you guys for listening to this edition of the Warrior Fitness Q&A. I'm still working out how I manage this. I've been trying to get questions all week from people, and I've been trying to really practice talking in a clear method on a live venue. But again, I'm only human. I mess up sometimes, just like everybody else. And so I'm sorry if I'm stuttering a lot and I'm slurring my words a lot. But I want to thank you guys for listening. If you're interested in actually asking me questions, if you're interested in actually getting me to answer your questions on one of these lives, then make sure you head over to www.warriorsoulagoji.com and sign up there for the Warrior Soul Fitness Academy. And that's how I will take your questions. The other thing I want to mention is this. I am starting a pilot with a product we've been developing. It's a membership product. It's called the Warrior Soul Agoji, right? And this is going to be our premium membership site. And the way that works is I have created a membership site where people have access to all the workouts I've designed for a lot of my athletes. They'll have access to the Warrior Soul Diet. It's a diet that the group will be doing together. They'll have access to my live calls. Now, the live calls on there are going to differ in that you're going to be able to come on. You're actually going to be able to interact with me over Zoom. We're going to be holding those each week. And, you know, I'll be able to see you. You'll be able to see me, and we'll actually be able to talk. I'm looking to bring in about 20 people into this. We're trying to keep it small, and we're trying to keep it to a group training oriented format. If you're interested in joining the Warrior Soul Agoji in the initial pilot plan, hit me up. We're going to get those of you who are in the pilot program a really great discount price on it, because we're still working out everything to perfect it. But want to see you guys in there. Just email me over at info@warriorsoulapparel.com. That's info at Warrior Soul. That's SOULAPPAREL.com. And I will get you into that pilot program, and we can start working together as a small group. So with that, guys, I will be back at you later this week with a new podcast, and I will be back at you next week with a new episode of Warrior Fitness Q&A. Talk to you guys soon.